Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about the Word became flesh. I tell you, this is powerful. I'm sharing some of the most profound truths I believe in the Word of God. It's kind of like this is giving you a big picture of how the whole world exists, how it functions, the laws of God. And of course, there are laws that govern how the kingdom of God works too. And most people just don't understand this. They don't have this concept that there is a system of order and laws that even God Himself follows. And so the first 2 days of this week, I've been trying to explain some of these things concerning Jesus coming to this earth and being born as a baby. And I asked some questions yesterday. One of them was, why did it take 4,000 years after the fall of Adam and Eve for Jesus to come to the earth? And see, most people just think, well, God could have done it anytime He wanted to. God is almighty. God is sovereign. No, God gave us authority, control over this earth. And once mankind had that power and then yielded it to the devil, God could not just intervene whenever and however He wanted to in this earth. Now, that's a new wrinkle in some people's brain. I spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking about this, and I'm going to continue to talk about it, but I'm just not going to belabor that point. I've already made it. But that is a major truth, that God gave us control and authority, and He could not just come and do whatever, whenever He wanted to. And in that answer right there also answers the second question I posed, and that is, why did God have to become a man? And the reason that God had to become a man is because John chapter 4, verse 24 says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. He doesn't have a physical body. There may be some type of spiritual body, but he doesn't have a physical body. He wasn't human. He was angelic. And God is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. And God gave the control, the authority over this earth, not to spirits, but to human bodies that have spirits living on the inside of them. We do have a spirit. We are a spirit, soul, and body, but we are unique. We're different than an angel in the fact that we have a spirit, a physical body, and not just a spirit. And when God created the heavens and the earth, He gave authority over the earth to physical bodies. This is why Jesus had to become a man. Because before Jesus came, God was limited in how much He could do because He had to flow through people. He no longer had the absolute control and authority over the earth. He had shared that with mankind. And this is why it took 4,000 years for Jesus to become manifest, because it took 4,000 years for God to find enough people who could cooperate with Him and speak forth a little bit of the prophecies that were necessary to have Jesus' body created. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But it took 4,000 years because He was limited. He didn't have direct control and access anymore. And in that answer also answers the second question about why did He have to become a man? Because it was so inefficient having to operate through thousands of different people over thousands of different years to get anything accomplished. He became a man Himself, and now the devil was hurting because God was now flesh. God now legally, according to His own Word, had the authority to deal with the devil, and through Jesus, God accomplished things that could have never been accomplished through just using mankind, fallen people that had fallen human natures. Anyway, that's kind of a brief overview. Let me go back to Genesis and just show you some things here. And again, this is not the way that most people think. But let me just point out that this is why most people aren't experiencing the supernatural power of God, because they don't think like God. We have a mindset, a philosophy that is contrary to the way God thinks. But you know what? God's the creator. God's the one that set down the laws. And I don't care whether you think your ideas and the way that you've been raised are better or not. Things are going to work the way that God said they would. And so God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 shows us all of this. And let me just read a couple of these verses to you. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then it says in verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and divide the waters from the waters." And then in verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place and let the dry land appear." In verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, etc." And then in verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament." And He created the sun and the moon and all of the stars. And then in verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly." And He began to create all of the waters, all of the animals that live in the waters, etc. And in verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature." And God created all of the animals that are on the face of the earth. And then in verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." You know, again, most people don't put this emphasis on it, but there is a scriptural truth. I'll bring out some other scriptures that will help verify this. But when God created, when God released power, anything God does, He speaks it into existence. Words are a creative force. Now, there's a lot of scriptures. I'm only going to pick just a few scriptures that go along with this. But look over here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. It says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." You know, this is a passage of Scripture that is powerful. It reveals a truth that I believe you can see reflected over in the book of Genesis. When God created the heavens and the earth, He said, "Let this happen." And man, it would happen. "Let us make man in our image." You know, we often use the terminology that God reached down His hand and scooped up some dirt and He made man and He did these things. And even the Bible uses some of this symbolism, and we use an analogy or an allegory to say that God did this with His hand. And it's not wrong I don't know what the right word for that is, but to use symbolism like that. Yeah, I'm not saying that I totally disagree with that, but technically, God did not reach down with His hand and create man or create the animals or create the heavens and the earth. And He didn't fling the stars out and throw them and all of these symbolisms that we use. The Scripture reveals that He spoke everything into existence. Here's another verse that goes along with that. I'm going to come back to Proverbs chapter 18, but over in the book of Hebrews and in chapter 11, where it's talking about faith, it says in verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, you could go into much more depth on this than what I'm going to do, but I'm just using this as another verification that it was the Word of God that framed the worlds. He didn't physically use His hand. He didn't use a hammer. He didn't use a tool the way that man would do things. God uses His Word the way that we use tools and machines to get things accomplished. God's Word is the creative force. He spoke the world into existence. And look at another verse over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, in verse 3. It's talking about Jesus, and it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person." That means an exact representation, perfect representation, not just a similar representation, but a perfect representation, the express image of His person, "and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, etc., expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. But notice in verse 3, it says that he upholds everything by the word of his power. Now, again, I'm saying things that are really simple once you see this. Once you get it, once you start thinking this way, it makes perfect sense, and you can see this all through Scripture. You can experience this, and it's one of the greatest ways to experience the power of God in manifestation, once you start understanding about words. But to the average person watching me right now, most people don't put much importance on your words. You know, it used to be that maybe 50 years ago or whatever period of time, you could give a person your word and you were bound by it. But today, people lie. I mean, they lie with seemingly no conviction about it. I remember buying a car and I had these two dealers fighting back and forth, and one of them just said, "No, I guarantee you, this is my word that this is as low as we can go." So I went back to the other dealer. He went lower. I bought that guy's car. And the guy called me before I actually had signed the papers. And he says, "So what did he offer you?" And I told him the price. And he says, "Well, I can go lower than that." I said, "You told me, you gave me your word that that was as low as you could go." And he says, "Well, you know how it is when you're selling a car." And I said, "No, I don't know how it is." I said, "You lied to me." I said, "Why would I want to do business with you?" And this guy came down $2,000 below the other person. And I said, "But I gave him my word that I would buy his because you had told me that that was absolutely your lowest. You gave me your word." He says, "Have you signed the papers yet?" And I said, "No, I hadn't signed the papers." And he says, "Well, then you can break it. You can come over here. I'll give you this car for $2,000 less." And I said, "Your word doesn't mean anything to you, but my word means something to me." And I told this guy I'd buy that car. And I said, "Besides, even if I hadn't have promised him and told him I wouldn't reward you for lying to me." Now, see, there's people like that salesman that just lying, and he says, "Oh, I give you my word. This is our low. We can't go. We would be losing money." He lied, lied, lied. And there's people that this is the way they do business. They just think that that's the way that it is. There's people that even if you sign something in a contract, words don't mean anything if you have a good lawyer. They can come down and talk about what the definition of is, and they can strain at a gnat and swallow a camel and get technical. And today, even contracts don't mean very much. There is no such thing as a totally ironclad contract because people just don't keep their word. And so that's the kind of mindset that we have. Words don't mean a lot. People will say things and then they'll say, "Oh, well, you know, I didn't mean anything by that." You know, the Scripture says that a godly man will swear to his own hurt and not change. Even if you make a wrong deal, you'll stick to it, even if it's going to hurt you, because that's a godly deal. That's the way that God looks at things. That's the way that the Scriptures teach it. And I got off on that by saying that Jesus upholds everything by the word of His power. He spoke the worlds into existence. They are the creative force. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The sun, the moon, the stars, they exist because of God's word. And if He upholds all of these things that He created, He not only created them by His word, but He upholds them by His word. If God, if Jesus was to ever lie, if He ever broke a promise, if God ever said, "Whoops, this isn't what I wanted. You've acted contrary. I think I'm just going to take back the authority that I gave you, and I'm going to do it another way because I don't like the way you did it." If God was to ever violate His word, the whole universe, you and me, everything would self-destruct. We are held together by the integrity of His word, the power of His word. If He was to ever, ever, ever change, then the universe would self-destruct. You know, I heard Oral Roberts one time say that in a slice of white bread, that there is enough nuclear power to power an ocean liner across the Atlantic Ocean and back, round trip, in one slice of bread. But it's locked inside of those atoms, and it's only unstable atoms that men have learned how to split, like uranium and plutonium. But, you know, the atoms that are in a regular piece of bread, inside of that atom, there is the same power that's inside of plutonium and uranium atoms. It's just that they are stable atoms, whereas those other atoms are unstable and men have learned how to split them. But if you could somehow or another take the power that is in an atom in a slice of bread, it's tremendous power. It could be a bomb. It could do all of these things. What is it that holds these things together? Why are they so tight? What force is it? You know, as you've seen an example of an atom, if you know, when we do these models, if you could take an atom and just magnify it and magnify it billions and billions of times, eventually you see the nucleus, and then there's these electrons that are going around the nucleus of the atom. There's space in an atom, and they are moving. And did you know that in the nucleus there are like-charged particles? According to, like, if you've ever taken two magnets and put the two positive ends together or the two negative ends together, did you know that those same charged particles repel each other? In the nucleus of an atom, there are like-charged particles that, according to every law of physics that man knows, they should be repelling each other. They should be expanding. Atoms should be flying apart, and yet they're tightly held together. What is it that does this? They've not figured it out. I figured it out because I can read the Bible. You know what holds the Word, everything together? It's by the power of His Word. God created those atoms. God created every atom in the universe, and in His words, when He spoke it, He put laws down about how they would operate, and they operate that way because He has never, ever, ever changed His Word. His Word has never failed. If Jesus was to ever fail to do what He said He would do, then that is what is holding everything together. The universe would self-destruct. The very fact that the universe is still intact, that you and I are intact, the very fact that all of these things continue as they have for thousands and thousands of years is a proof enough for anybody who can read and believe what the Bible says, that God is true and it's impossible for Him to lie. So go back again, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. God spoke life. He created the heavens and the earth, and He spoke these things into existence. Words release the power of God. Words are a creative force. And here's the reason I'm saying all of that. Because going back to Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, in verse 26, it says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's the devil. He is a creep. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said. How did God bless them? Did He, you know, do one of these things and bless them? Bless you, my child. No, He blessed them by saying words. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given unto you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw all of this and said it was good. You know, I could spend more time on this, but again, God created man by words, and then He spoke words to them, and He says, you are now in control. I give you the earth. You have authority over the earth, over everything, everything that moves on the earth. Now, when God said that, it is obvious from Scripture that He did not want mankind to take the authority and the power that He had given them to rule and to reign this earth and to give it to the devil. That was not God's plan. And yet, that's exactly what mankind did. You know what we would have done? Fallen people who don't put that emphasis on our word, who we just say one thing, and if that doesn't work out, we'll change and do something else. See, that's ungodly. That's not like God. If it would have been us, when mankind, the man that we created, turned around and gave this authority to the devil, we would have said, whoops, time out, King's X, I take it back. I refuse to honor my contract. I am not going to allow you to do this. This is not what I want. And we would have taken back that authority. But see, God, when He gave this authority and power to Adam and Eve, He didn't put any restrictions on it. He didn't say, as long as you administer this authority the way I want you to, then you can have authority over this earth. No, He just says it's yours. Rule. The earth is yours. You know, another scripture that goes along with this is Psalms 115 and verse 16. And I think that that's the right verse. Let me just turn over here and read this to you. Psalms 115, verse 16. It says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men." Now, there's other scriptures that talks about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that's not incorrect to say that God is the owner, but God gave the control of it to man. The earth belongs to God, but it is actually under the control of man. Now, it was. Jesus changed some of this, and I'll explain that more. But when God gave the earth, gave these words, when He spoke those words, He couldn't just say, well, I'm not going to honor those words, because, again, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says He upholds everything by the word of His power. If He would have broken His promise to Adam and Eve and says, well, that's not what I wanted you to do, so I just violate my promise, I violate my word, He doesn't have to say, now, this is a promise. Honest, I'm going to keep this one. No, God's never had to say that anything He's doing is honest. Everything He does is honest. And when He told Adam and Eve, you have dominion, then He exempted Himself from having dominion. He gave control to men. And in these truths that I've been talking about today lies the answer to why it took 4,000 years for Jesus to come to this earth, why it took 4,000 years for the Word to become flesh. The promise was made in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, but God had to flow through men now. He had given the control of this earth to men. When He created the first man, He didn't have shared control. Nobody else had anything to do with it. It was completely up to God. And so God just spoke, and boom, like that, Adam and Eve were formed. The whole universe, everything was formed. But now, He could not just directly create another man, because He had now given the dominion, the authority over everything that went on the earth to men, and now God had to speak through men. And because of this, there was no one man. They were all corrupt. They were all fallen. They couldn't really conceive and receive everything that needed to happen. Remember that when God created Adam, He spoke him into existence. For Jesus' physical body to be created, it wasn't going to come through the natural way of a man and woman coming together. It was going to, again, be a supernatural creation. And He could no longer just speak Jesus into existence. He had to speak to individuals to speak these words. Those words had to be spoken through man. You know, I'm out of time today, but I'm going to explain this a lot better, a lot more tomorrow. So I encourage you to listen in to our program tomorrow. And also, please listen as our announcer gives you information about all of these materials that we're offering on The Word Became Flesh.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057C for the CD or T3202D for the DVD. Or you can get the original five-part DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Word Became Flesh series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
The truths that I've been sharing on our program, it's not that they're difficult, it's just that they're so different. You know, there's not very many people that think the way the Bible thinks. The renewing of our mind, going back to what God's Word said, is the most important thing that's ever going to happen in your life. And you know, we do this through our television program, through our materials, but really the best way that I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. We not only have our main campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have 13 other campuses around the world with more coming online. And we do have an online school, correspondence school. There's many ways you could take advantage of it. So I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and inquire about being a part of our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
The truth is, Adam and Eve were the gods of this world. They had absolute control and authority, and Satan did not have any authority to do anything to them. He had to get them to cooperate. Now, they didn't cooperate in the sense that they said, all right, we hate God, we're going to reject God. No, they still admired God. Matter of fact, they were trying to be more like God. That was the temptation and the deception that he gave them. It wasn't a rebellious type of thing, but they did cooperate with the devil.